How deep the Father's love for us. How about
I love Dada so much.
That he should give his all.
100%.
To make a wretch
a whole lot.
I love my daddy as much as the whole wide world, right after God and Jesus.
This much.
I love daddy in the whole universe.
Daddy so much.
He's friendly, nice, and honest. And I'm sure there's more positive reasons why he is a very good dad. Thank you all for listening.
What I admire most about my dad is that he has a big heart and that he loves helping people out. I also admire that he is a great grandpa to my son, Julian.
There are a lot of reasons why I admire my dad, but I'll just name a few. The first is the unconditional love he gives our entire family. The second is patience. He has more patience than anyone I know. And third, he is full of wisdom. I'd also like to mention he has a great sense of humor. These are just a few reasons why I love him.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you for all the things you provided for the family and all the things you provided for each one of us. Happy Father's Day.
My dad means the world to me. He was the man who was always there for me. He taught me to be trustworthy, honest, and kind. He also showed us to love God through his example. I was the typical daddy's little girl growing up. I thought my dad could fix everything, and I still do.
One thing I really admire about my dad is his ability to persevere and never give up. He never gave up on his kids, his house, or his church family. Thank you, Dad, for teaching me to never give up even when life gets hard. I love you.
What I admire most about my dad is he's so patient and kind. He's willing to help at a moment's notice and never complains about anything. I love him for everything that he is, and I am so glad that he's my daddy.
I admire most about my father is spending time with his children and grandchildren has always been one of his top priorities.
What I admire about my father is how great he is to work with. He's an incredible golfer, and he's been a great father.
What I admire most about my dad is his work ethic. When he wasn't working outside the house, he was working around the house to make things better.
Most about my dad is that he is still a big kid at heart, and the way he loves and encourages my kids with their sports and everyday life. The only thing that could possibly make him even better is if he were a Cubs fan.
What I admire most about my dad is his devotion. His devotion to my mom, to our family, to God, to our church, to helping others, and doing what he can in the community. He has shown so much devotion and set such an example for me and my children that I am glad that he is in our lives, and I want to say thank you and happy Father's Day.
One thing I admire most about my dad is his kind heart. He's always there to help us whenever we need it, with whatever we need. We don't even have to ask most of the time. He's just always there for us.
What I admire most about my dad is his heart for God, that he never stops trying to grow his faith and deepen his relationship with God, and also his heart for people, that he's compassionate and he never lets fear stand in the way when God calls him to step out on faith and serve in ways that are outside of his experience and outside of his comfort zone.
It's just a sampling from our church family. I wanted to do more. I wanted to really include as much of the folks in the church as I possibly could. But you know what? I ran out of time. And if I had gotten much more, I wouldn't have had time to do the presentation today as well. But if you did not get an opportunity, I know I called upon some of you and asked you, and there was some reason or another why you couldn't respond. But if you didn't get the opportunity to express how much you love your dad or to express your appreciation for him in this presentation today, may I just encourage you to make sure you do it face to face. Just take the time to tell them how much they mean to you. The reality is, though, it's a pretty tough thing to do, isn't it? I mean, to talk about how much we love our daddies. Pretty hard to do. How do you measure that? Having said that, I think the kids do about as good a job as anybody in their simple expressions about how they love their daddies. I mean, think about it. This much, all the world outside of God and Jesus, the whole universe, 100%. Once again, just so much we heard that expression. But those simple, heartfelt expressions of love and appreciation, no wonder we are encouraged to be like little children, even in our expressions to the Father. He's not so concerned about the number of words we use or how we articulate it so much as whether it's coming from our hearts. The reality, too, is, though, even as we get older, as adults, when we have more vocabulary to work with, we feel like we could articulate it better if we give you even more time, ample time to think about it, to write down things maybe, to plan what you want to say. Even then, isn't it hard to express to the men who gave you life and also blessed you with the good things in life, isn't it hard to find the words to express to them how much they mean to you? I know that it is so difficult to express what's on our heart when we're really trying to express love and how that is measured. The best we can do falls short of what we feel. Today is my third lesson in a series that I'm calling Song Select. I shared each week how it's inspired, at least in part, by Paul's words to the churches concerning singing in our assemblies. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:15 that he would sing with the spirit and he would also sing with the understanding. The idea that, yes, he would sing with his heart, he would have emotion, but he would also be singing things that were understandable, things that made sense, things that would communicate. And in Colossians 3:16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." So once more, it's clear that the songs that we sing when we're gathered together are not only to express praise to God, but also to instruct as well as encourage each person in the assembly. So today, we're going to consider the song that we sang earlier in preparation for communion, and I believe it fits well with Father's Day. How deep the Father's love. Many people, upon hearing the song for the first time, and I would be among those, think it's an older classic hymn, even though it was penned in 1995. Now, some of you here think that's still a long time ago. 1995, that's ancient. But if you open up the hymnals, you'll find that many of the songs there, matter of fact, most of them were written 100, 200, 300 years ago. So this is a relatively new hymn. It was written by Stuart Townend of Brighton, England, out of a concern, in part, that he thought the emphasis of too many people, both young and old, were about seeking an experience in worship, more concerned about what moved them than what would honor God. And as much as he says that he believes that worship should touch our hearts, it should not be our primary focus just to get our hearts touched. For seeking an experience can become self-serving. If our songs are only about what we feel, or what we need, or what we like, we miss the point. And we will miss out on the blessing that God intended in our song services. We have this incredible, all-powerful God who deserves our highest praise no matter how we feel or no matter what we like. Townend's desire in How Deep the Father's Love was to encourage a sense of joy, gratitude, and adoration. But he wanted those to be a byproduct of recalling how marvelous is the love of God. I personally believe he accomplished that goal in the song. We have sung it often here. As I thought about Father's Day and this theme of Song Select, it was the first song that came to my mind. It's the song that we sing, but I pray that we understand in the singing of it that there's an incredible, important, valuable message in it. The lyrics of the chorus reverberate in my spirit. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son to make this wretch a treasure. It's not a question, it's a declaration, a profound truth. The love of our Father God is beyond our ability to comprehend. I would be surprised if Townend didn't have Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 in mind when he wrote those lyrics. It's on page 1820 of your Pew Bibles if you would like to follow along there. But he begins in verse 14 by saying, I kneel before the Father. And obviously we're talking about the Heavenly Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And as he's kneeling, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then, the latter part of verse 17, call attention to this, and he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. He goes on to say that you may be filled to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do measurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Holy Spirit to help believers to understand what was impossible for them to understand. He prayed for God to help them to grasp that which they couldn't possibly grasp, at least on their own. Why? Because the love of our Heavenly Father really is vast beyond all measure. It's wider, longer, higher, and deeper than any other love. Even far greater than the love your earthly father may have for you, or the love you may have for him, or those two loves combined. It's greater than those loves too. And on Father's Day, as we recognize and we honor fathers for the love they've shown to us, and we express our love to them, we need to be reminded that as wonderful and great as that love is, it pales in comparison to the love of the Heavenly Father. Did you know that the Pacific Ocean is estimated to contain 187 quintillion gallons of water? But notice, I said the capacity is estimated. There's no way to get a precise measurement because of the varying depths of the ocean. And literally, it has fluid boundaries. There's ebb and flow as the water rises and as one ocean flows into the other. And there's no way to get a precise, accurate measurement. It's beyond being able to do that. The universe is also beyond measuring. The distance to the edge of the observable cosmos is about 46 billion light years. Now that boggles the mind. We don't have the ability to see beyond that. Now, I've shared before that as we get more powerful telescopes and we're able to see a bit further than we could before, we're always seem like the astronomers are amazed that while there's more out there than we thought. There's still more out there. And there are scientists who believe that the universe is expanding all the time. And if that's the case, listen to me, if they did get a precise measurement somehow this moment, the data would be out of date the next moment. So it's beyond our ability to measure. And if we can just accept these truths in this finite creation, that there are things that are too vast to measure, we ought to at least be a little closer to understanding that God's awesome, incredible, marvelous, majestic, amazing love is also beyond mere human comprehension. It's beyond measuring. See, Paul petitioned God that we might be able to somehow, though, get a handle on how wide the Father's love is. In my bulletin article for today, I call attention to some scriptures that if we would just read those and think about them, ponder them for a while, they would leave us in wonder. In John 3:16, we read that the Father's love extends the breadth of the whole world. We spent a lot of time talking about this on Memorial Day, that the One died for all, that God's love was for all the world, the whole world. That's pretty wide, isn't it? That's pretty broad, the love of God. To extend to every person alive today, but even broader than that, because again, if we go beyond that, that God's love extends to all those who have ever lived and all those who ever will live until He comes again. Who can measure that? How wide is the love of our Father? Paul also prayed for us to be able to come to grips with how long the Father's love is. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that He has loved you with an everlasting love. His love lasts forever. There are many, many scriptures who say that. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. It is without end. It stretches into eternity and beyond. How long is His love? Paul asks for God to help us to grasp how high the Father's love is. Psalm 36:5 tells us, it reaches to the heavens, even the highest heavens. And even if that meant His love stops there, that there's a boundary there, a ceiling there somewhere, which it doesn't, how could you even measure that? How high is the highest heaven? And what of the depth of the Father's love? Can we possibly hope to wrap our minds around that? In Romans 11:33, Paul expresses great awe at the depth of God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge. He says that His judgments are unsearchable and His paths beyond tracing out. Wow. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. So vast, in fact, that we need divine help, see, to be able to fathom the profound depths of this love. And perhaps Townend realized that words were not enough to convey the truth, when he points us to not just words, but the living Word who hung on the cross. When he stretches our minds to then focus on a single act in all of history, to the Father's only Son hanging on a cross. And see, that's what Paul did as well in the 5th chapter of the Roman letter. Many of you are familiar with this. We mention it quite frequently, actually, where it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. His love portrayed. See, not just in words, but in action. Demonstrated for us. So how deep is the Father's love? How deep is it? If I think about the lyrics to the song again, Townend's calling our attention to that focal point in history, behold the man upon the cross. And he goes on to say, it was my sin that held him there. His dying breath has brought me life. Let that sink in. And the closing thoughts, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. At least not a logical one, not a reasonable one, not one that makes any sense. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. See, herein is a key. The key to opening our minds and our hearts enough to absorb this incredible truth is for the Holy Spirit to convict us first of the greatness of our sin. And that's a problem for us. Because think about it. Do we really want to be open and honest about what sinners we are? I mean, in our culture today, we don't even like to use the word. We were talking the other day that some more modern songwriters have actually removed the word sin or sinner from some of their lyrics because it's offensive. So we want to call them failures, shortcomings, my issues, my struggles, my personal problems. Don't want to call it what it is. My sins. My sin. And we want to prorate them again, don't we? You don't want to say, well, my sin, it's not as bad as other people's sin, you know, and I'm really not that bad of a person. I've not really done that bad of things. And even if I did, well, hey, I've done more good things now to counterbalance that. So certainly, you know, they're not even to be considered anymore. Don't talk. But you see the problem there? Until we allow for the Holy Spirit to convict us of the greatness of our sin. And I don't mean it's a great thing. I mean how huge a problem our sin was and is. Then we're never really going to fully wrestle with the idea that God gave his sinless son for the likes of us. How deep the Father's love? Deep enough to cover all my sins. Deep enough to pay for all my sins. Deep enough that he would leave heaven to come to earth to suffer, bleed, and die for my sins. How deep the Father's love. I've received many wonderful gifts on Father's Day. I have two daughters, most of you know, Mandy and Sarah, and they have given me all kinds of wonderful gifts over the years. They've given me ties and tools and t-shirts, caps and cologne, books and Bibles, gift cards and gift sets, plaques and pictures and pens, and more. They've gifted me with amazing tributes and cards and calls and posts on social media. They've gifted me with their hugs and their kisses. And I have been and I am blessed and honored by every one of those expressions of their love. How many fathers out there today could relate to what I'm talking about? It's not a matter of how much they paid for the gift or what the gift personally cost them. It's not about so much the words as the expression itself, and it's coming from their heart. Doesn't it mean the world to you? There can be times maybe even fathers I've talked to, they say, well, I don't know if it's even worth it. The sacrifice, the heartache of being a dad, you know, the kids don't always respond, you know, the way you want them to. Sometimes they hurt you. Sometimes they disappoint you. They hurt themselves. They hurt others. And, you know, just, but that expression that they love you and they appreciate you can make a big difference, can it, dads? And you can recognize that, you know, it really wasn't about them being the perfect kid. It was about whether I loved them unconditionally and my love was accepted. That's what matters. That's what matters. But of course, the greatest gift I ever received was not from my kids on Father's Day. It was one I received from my Heavenly Father on the day that was not marked on anyone's calendar but His. It was a day the Spirit first revealed to me. He had given me His one and only Son. And that I was convicted in my heart, yes, of my sin and my need for a Savior. And that God loved me enough to give His Son that I could have this relationship with Him. That was over 50 years ago. Since then, He's been leading me into a greater appreciation of His love. To be honest with you, in my earliest relationship with God, it wasn't always responding to His love. At least that's not the way I understood it. So many times it was because I was afraid of His wrath, of the punishment, of the condemnation. And I was thankful He sent Jesus. They loved me. They sent Jesus to die for me. But I wasn't always feeling the love, if you know what I mean. I was taught that, you know, now I had to be the perfect kid and His love was not going to be there for me in a continual, deep way if I wasn't always doing the right thing. And that leaves you in a situation where you just don't feel the love. You just don't. But by God's grace, I've learned over the years that His love is much deeper than I first thought. Much deeper. Much higher, much wider, much longer. His love endures. He's patient, kind, and loving. In that process, I will tell you, sometimes when I contemplate, when I meditate the depth of the Father's love, it brings me to tears. Other times it has me lifting my hands in praise. Sometimes I'm doing both together. Sometimes I'm falling to my knees in prayer and confession. Yes, as I recognize my sin and how deep the Father's love is for me still. And one thing for sure is that in all those things, the closer I get to the appreciation and the apprehension of the marvelous mystery of the Father's love, the more I realize how much it still, in some ways, eludes me. I'm still learning. I'm still going to school about this. Reality is sometimes I think the way to understand it more is I just need to be a better student. I need to study more. I need to learn more. And don't misunderstand me. Get into God's Word. It's Holy Spirit inspired, yes, and that will really help you to better understand, but don't leave the Holy Spirit out of you understanding that too. Paul didn't just pray God to help him to read the Bible. He said, God, through your Spirit, help them, give them this ability to grasp how deep God's love is. And yes, I find myself sincerely singing the chorus of this wonderful hymn, or at least contemplating it. But why should I gain from His reward? I can't give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. How do I know that? Well, because I'm so smart. Because I've worked it out. I've figured it. No! Because, and I want you to hear me here, it's because the One who is able to do more than I can ask or imagine has shed the light of His love into my heart. See, that's the context of that verse. I love that verse, verse 20 of Ephesians 3. He's able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine according to His work within me. But think of the context. It's in the context of Paul praying for God to do the impossible, to help me to understand that which I can't understand. It's impossible to understand unless He who can make it possible makes it possible. He can help me to grasp that which is beyond my reach, to imagine which I can't imagine, to comprehend the incomprehensible, that God's love is so deep and and high and wide and long. So my prayer today is this. It's Paul's prayer. I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, see, that surpasses knowledge. To know that which you can't know. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, God wants to fill you with this knowledge. That which is vast beyond measure, He wants to put in our hearts and our minds. So we are in awe and appreciation of His great, great love. His love really is without measure. It really and truly is. So as we think today about how to express love and appreciation to our dads, think first about how you measure their love and appreciation for you as their children. And the more you do that, the more you're going to appreciate, see, and be able to express, I believe, your love and appreciation to them. And isn't it also true with our Heavenly Father? The more we understand and appreciate His love for us, the more we're going to be able to express love and appreciation to Him.